to. Hold on to the rock of ages. Hold on to the cornerstone.
Gotta stand.
Stand strong on the true foundation. Surrounded by the fortress strong.
And when
all the storms of life are raging. Hold on to the rock of ages. Hold on to the cornerstone. Stand strong on the sure foundation. Surrounded by the fortress strong.
And
when all the storms of life are raging.
Hold on.
Hold on. Hold on to the rock.
You know that it does take.
Cornerstone. Stand strong on the sure foundation. Surrounded by the fortress strong.
And
when all the storms of life are raging.
Hold on.
Hold on. Hold on to the rock.
You know sometimes when life is easy.
Hold on. Hold on. You gotta hold on. Shakes us to our very soul.
Who you gonna trust?
And where you gonna go? You gotta hold on to the rock of ages. Hold on to the cornerstone. Stand strong on the sure foundation. Surrounded by the fortress strong.
And
when all the storms of life are raging.
Hold on.
Hold on to the rock, you've got to hold on to the rock, hold on to the rock.
My word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my hello everyone. As the youth choir ended a few days ago, I actually realized in a deeper way how it's a beautiful ministry that we could encourage churches and praise God, and that we can also do discipleship between members of the youth choir, where we met one-on-one and in small groups. And also there was another important ministry that Jesus commanded his bride to do. What we did on this youth choir was preaching the gospel to people that we don't know, that we never first met. And we were doing that in public places. And I want to talk a little bit about evangelism. First, I'm going to read Matthew 28, a few verses. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And it was very beautiful to see that we met so many different nations and religions on the way, and we were able to speak the gospel to them and pray with them, and the rest is up to God and them. Up to them, whether they want to receive that, and up to Holy Spirit to work in them. I grew up in Serbia, and I lived there for 31 years, and I was mostly surrounded with non-Christians, because in my church we were always like about 10 people, and it was only young people, were only me and my siblings, and some of them were actually not going to church. So I got used to being with non-believers and finding a way to tell them the gospel. And it was not always easy because we don't share the same faith, the same spirit. And then I came to Worcester and I was surrounded with Christians because I didn't know anyone else. And I was like, wow, this is so refreshing and so good to be always surrounded by Christians. Not only that was my family in Serbia, but now the whole church and all the Bible studies and regularly. And then after some time, I realized, wow, I'm missing non-believers. I miss to preach because this is what Jesus commanded to us. And I really didn't take a lot of opportunities. I took a few. And I really felt that burden. I need to share the gospel. And then youth choir came, and there were so many opportunities that we had opportunities to share the gospel, and I will share a few. When we came to Phoenix, first stop, we were in hotel, and I was finishing breakfast, and Adam came to me and said, oh, there's a Serbian guy in front of hotel, and maybe you want to come and meet him. And I was thinking like, oh yes, of course. And I was thinking like, oh, how I'm gonna share the gospel. And so I met him, and he's from one city that I have friends in that city, south of Serbia. And I was thinking like, how I'm gonna share gospel with him now? I have a few minutes. And I kind of had a prejudice. Oh, he's Orthodox. He has traditions. He's not gonna believe in a way that is biblical. So I had this prejudice, and I didn't share the gospel and say, God bless you, protect you. And then I went to Bible study. And so from the Bible study, I could see him sitting. And so I would like look like a few times, like, oh, if he's there. Because I remember I had my book that I wrote in Serbian, and for some reason I brought it to the youth choir. And so I'm like, oh, maybe I can share with him this, my book in Serbian. And I looked back and he was gone. And then I ran to the hotel and I said, God, if it's your will for me to give him the book, you will stop him, because he was going to the bus where he was a soldier doing some training in the States for the first time, and he barely knew English. And so yeah, and then I went to the bus and I said, can you call Milan? And then someone called him, and Milan came, and I said, hey, it's me again. I want to give you something, a book, so that when you feel nostalgic, you can read something in Serbian. And the book is about different stories of how Jesus made change in the lives. And so I was like, wow, thank you God for this opportunity. And then there was another opportunity. We were also in Phoenix. We were at a dining hall where like people who are homeless or poor people don't come for meals, we were singing, and then I saw one lady like listening. Her eyes were like tears, and I really wanted to tell her that Jesus loves her, and to read her in Spanish from the Bible. But she was leaving, and so I ran out of choir because I thought this was very important. And I went and I told her Jesús te ama in Spanish, and I read her the verse 3:16 John in Spanish, and I hugged her, and then she left, and then and the rest is on her, and for God to bring more people in her life. So I realized so much during the youth choir that we are sometimes afraid to share the gospel because we think it's difficult, but no, it's not difficult. It's very easy because sometimes it's just one question asking them, do you believe in Jesus? Or saying them, Jesus loves you, or just like blessing them can be a starting point of them to know Jesus Christ. So I'm now encouraged more when I go back to Worcester to find those opportunities and share the gospel more where now I live. Yes, I want to say also that there are a lot of people who are very effective in sharing the false gospel in this world. I had a contact for many years with Mormons in Serbia. They were missionaries, and they're very effective. And around the world, Jehovah's Witness, other, like, you know, politics, advertising is very, very effective. And this is a question for us: how much we are effective in the ministry of sharing the gospel? Because I think that I'm not very effective, and I need to be more, and the church need to be more effective in doing that. And sometimes I feel like we're just Christians spending time with each other. Oh, let's do this, let's do that, this and that. And it's not bad, of course, but I feel like the non-believers are out there crying, like, hey, we need you to come to share the gospel with us, because we would be surprised how many people are actually desperately in the need of Christ, and they don't even know that they need Christ. But when we share them, I am sure that many people in this world would accept Jesus. And I know God will provide the way, but this is a reminder of us to share the gospel. I want to just leave us with a few questions and a few verses from Bible. Am I excited about the gospel in my life so that it can be poured out to other people around us? Are we more excited to talk about earthly things than gospel in our life, Bible revelations that we get, evangelism opportunities we have or may have? When we pray, do we intentionally pray for God to bring us people to whom we can share gospel? When such opportunity arises, do we take them and preach the truth of Christ? Everyone is called to evangelize. Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And Romans 10. How then can they call on him when they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. And there are many excuses about sharing the gospel, such as, oh, they will not believe. Oh, they're too much into the darkness that they will not be able to see the light. Or we should just show our deeds. That's first and important, to show deeds. But we need to share with our words that Christ is a risen, he's alive, that he's the Lord, and that he can take them out from the evil and darkness in the life. And as I said, and I'm going to repeat again, everyone is called to evangelize.